This is The Ignition Point, Clayton Bradley Academy's podcast where every day we work to help students excel through critical thinking, problem solving, collaboration, and use of our lifelong guidelines and life skills. Today's podcast is a little different in that the recording takes place inside the 8th grade classroom. We're going to join Dan DeMarcus, their math and science teacher, as he discusses the project that they're currently working on, and you will hear in the background. So there's going to be some background noise in this podcast as the 8th graders are continuing to work on this project that Dan is going to walk us through. It follows the process of how the brain learns that we've been talking about, phases A, B, C, and D, and you're going to see how this comes to life in a classroom with the roller coaster project that Dan DeMarcus does with his 8th graders in the 4th quarter. At this time, we join the podcast with Dan DeMarcus and his 8th grade class as they continue to work on their roller coaster project. We'd like to welcome to the podcast today, really the entire 8th grade, but Mr. Dan DeMarcus is going to be the first one here with us. And so we are working on a end of the 8th grade year project right now. And this is why we're in here. And we're going to be bringing in different 8th grade teams to talk about what they're doing as part of this project. But we want to start with just kind of an introduction of this project. It's kind of a culmination of a lot of things we've been talking on the podcast about how the brain learns, how we set up our education here to be this integrated thematic type instruction. And so Dan, one, welcome to the podcast, but two, let's get right into it and introduce this project. What is this thing in 8th grade?
Okay, so this is the physics standards roller coaster project. So we have 4 physics standards in 8th grade that are based on Newton's first, second, third laws. And so this project really allows the students to construct something where they actually see those laws in full display.
Nice.
And then they can obviously take everything they've learned from building these roller coasters and then applying all the physics calculations to what they've built.
Yeah.
And of course, we started by taking a trip to Dollywood. And so we met with two of the engineers who built the Big Bear Mountain and some of the other roller coasters at Dollywood, and they met us on site. So the students that met with them learned all about just the engineering behind the roller coasters, the design, the effects on the body that a roller coaster has, how that energy, you know, changes throughout a ride. And so that was the initial kickoff of the project. And then I think the highlight of this project is the fact that these teams of three or four, they have different roles.
Yeah.
And so each of the 4 roles are pretty diverse in the beginning. A lot of it is either the mathematics of the cost, the construction cost, the design and marketing aspect, and then, of course, the lead construction officer. They're the main builders. And
yeah.
So even as the project's unfolded, you can kind of see those roles take, you know, they take shape, but they also change. Some of the kids who didn't think they'd be, like, the lead construction officer, they're the ones who are doing most of the building,
yeah,
even though they didn't sign up for that. So this is we're almost done. I mean, the teams are now putting on final touches of either decorating or building. And then they're working on their calculations too. So
absolutely.
Next week we hope to be completely finished, and they'll be testing and scored on the ride.
I think right now would be a great time if anybody wants to join in to talk about what that was like to go to Dollywood. So let's see if we can bring somebody into the podcast that was in the class to see what their reaction was of the time they had at Dollywood.
Great.
So we now have two students with us, 2 8th grade students, Lily and Allie. And so we're going to talk a little bit about your trip to Dollywood. So Mr. D just talked about that's how we kind of started this idea. So what, I guess, your initial thought of going into that trip, what were you thinking you were going to get to see and learn? I know you guys also had a lot of fun riding rides and that sort of thing too, but what were your initial thoughts about what you were going to get to do while you were there?
So when we were told that we were going to go to Dollywood, we were told that we were going to learn about the kinetic energy and the potential energy and the physics behind a roller coaster. So we really look forward to that, and we were super excited because we got to ride rides and learn about physics at the same time and meet important people who made the roller coaster, so we learned a lot from that.
Yeah.
That's what we thought.
So which roller coaster did you guys focus on while you were there?
We mainly focused on Big Bear Mountain. Mm. We learned about the safety measures that they had to put in place and lots of the other things of like how the structure of it was made and how they geared for different parts of the roller coaster to complete the whole track.
Yeah. Have you ever thought about that when you went to ride a roller coaster before?
No, really. Never. I don't think I ever have.
And so what was that like getting to sit down with the people that were on the, you know, on the design phase of that and had to think about all of these things of a roller coaster that for us, we just think about going and enjoying a roller coaster. Mm-hmm. Right? We're looking at how fast does it go and does it do any flips or what kind of turns does it do? You know, we're looking at the excitement element, but what was that like having that conversation with somebody that was on the design side that had to figure out how to have that excitement but not kill somebody, right? Have that excitement but not be too exciting that people pass out on the ride. Mm-hmm. So what was that like to have that conversation?
It was very interesting to have that conversation to fully understand what it takes to build a roller coaster and how the process it takes to just make a full roller coaster, because we learned about the different aspects of it. Because when we were talking about Big Bear, there's a certain hill that they have to get over to complete the rest of the tracks.
Yep.
So they were talking about, what is the thing that launches it? It's called like a...
It's like... It like pushes it. It's not.
So it's a propulsion.
Yeah, it's, yes, it's yes. Almost like, and there's different ones placed in the track to get over the certain hills that they needed to learn about those. And so when they were talking to us, we got to learn about those different things and like how those affect the ride. And they also told us about the safety measure of where if some part of the roller coaster is down or there's something that fell off, it will immediately let the people know inside. They'll be like, oh, hey, there's a part, and then they'll stop the whole ride and figure out it. So that was very interesting to learn about.
Oh, wow. And so while you were at Dollywood, what was your favorite thing to do?
Well, the learning about physics was really fun, but I would say like riding the rides was really fun. But after learning about the physics and the kinetic energy and the speed and how they made it, and going on the roller coasters after, it was really interesting because we're like, oh, this is where the push off happens. Yeah. This is where you can feel you can feel the G's, right?
The G-force.
G-force, yeah.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite ride there?
Ooh, Mystery Mine for me. I really like that.
Oh,
ride.
Yeah, I love Mystery Mine.
That one's got some really cool flips and kind of drops.
Yeah, like the 90. That was. It's probably one of my favorites as well.
Okay. Well, thank you guys.
You're welcome.
All right, we are back now with Mr. D. So we're talking about, that's what the kids call you, Mr. D. Sorry, yes. Dan, I guess.
Sorry.
talking about this project. So you started it with this trip to Dollywood. The kids just in that part of the interview were able to talk about they were hearing things that they never thought about when they were thinking about a roller coaster, looking at propulsion, looking at G-force, looking at all the things that go into building a roller coaster. So that was really cool to hear that conversation. But you guys took this trip to Dollywood. Obviously, it was a lot of fun as well, and a lot of learning in there. What's the next part then of the project?
So, yeah, once we take the trip and we get back to school, that's when we actually introduce the project.
Yeah.
So that is when I give them the initial four roles that each of the team members gets to choose one of those roles. And at that point, they learn some of the they've already been to Dollywood, so they know what is behind a roller coaster and what goes into the design. And at that point, then they really start to put, I did a vision board this year for the first time. So they did a digital vision board where they had to hit five criteria they had to come up with the name of their roller coaster, who their target audience was. They had to design a logo for the roller coaster, and then they had to do the scientific aspect, which is design the roller coaster, and then what was the cost? What's the anticipated cost?
Oh, wow.
So that's where the Coaster Depot store that we have here in the classroom comes from, is that all their material comes from Coaster Depot, and I like to incorporate what they're doing in ELA with robber barons and captains of industry. So
okay.
So Coaster Depot is definitely one of those examples of a captain of industry. So a company that really has the market, corners the market in all the building material that they'll need for their roller coaster design. And so I tell them that, you know, it's priced according to supply and demand. And it's kind of funny because some of the kids start complaining about the pricing, or they'll say, well, can't we just go buy this this foam tube that we're going to use for our track? down the street, you know, at another store, and I'll say, well, you know, we start fluctuating prices, and then they realize that Coaster Depot is more of like a robber baron, and they're taking advantage of the fact that we're the only store in the school.
That's right, kind of got a monopoly on it.
Right, exactly. So they kind of they realize that in the beginning that even though you know, they get all their stuff here, but that's also where the math comes into play. So everything on that list is priced according to either how many grams, how many inches, and so their integrated supply manager, that's one of the roles on the team. They have to keep a spreadsheet on Google Sheets that shows all their construction cost. So that person obviously picks to be that role in the beginning because they feel confident in their math skills and they want to be the person that's trying to stick to the budget. So that's another component in the beginning of the project, is they have to have an estimated cost of the roller coaster. And what's really neat is when they go to Dollywood, they learn that Big Bear Mountain costs $25 million in actual cost. And so everything that's sold at Coaster Depot is kind of reflective of what would that cost be in real life. So a manila folder is $40,000 for a sheet of manila folder, but it's used to either create the track of the roller coaster they're building, or maybe the vertical risers that keep it in place. And so everything is, I try to keep it an accurate ratio. So we'll see at the end of this how much each of the roller coasters they built actually cost. But a lot of their budgets in the beginning, when they did their sales pitch to the board of directors, if you will, when they did their vision boards, a lot of them were trying to keep them cheap, and so they were like $8 million or less, when in reality they know that, you know, Big Bear Mountain costs $25 million. Right. So, and that's part of the challenge too, is when they come up with their proposed budget, how close can they keep it to that at the end? So,
well, and I love that your Coaster Depot, we've got tragedy happening in the background here. I think a marble just went down a tube, in the wrong tube.
You could just invert it. Carefully invert it.
That'll be exciting. But I love on here that you've even got like land plot pricing, you know, as far as how it's not just build a roller coaster, but they're having to account for even the land the coaster is sitting on. So that's really great.
There's a lot of things that in the beginning I don't think they realize how important each little component is, because in the beginning they're trying to save money, and so that's why I have the two different size science fair boards basically. And the ones that use the smaller board, they do realize that they may have made a poor decision.
That's right, you boxed yourself in.
Yeah. But then to watch that perseverance and problem solving though, because then they realize, okay, wait, if we extend it out of the perimeter of the board, but it's still up in the air, then we're not using any extra land. We're just, you know, using the space around it. So I mean, it's neat to see all of the you know, the changing, and I guess they really become I can't think of the word. They adapt to any problem that they're seeing at that moment, and it's
and then the ingenuity that comes in to say, how can we do this a little different and envision this, you know, staying within the parameters if I'm on this, but I can actually make my track float out over this in a different way. So that's really great to see, and these designs are really cool. We'll have some other kind of posts happening where you'll see some pictures. You can't see that on the podcast, obviously, but we'll be putting some other stuff out from the school. So let's bring in a couple students to talk about the vision boards. I think that'd be really cool to see. How did they make those? What were they thinking? And then how maybe has that changed from what they thought?
Perfect.
All right. So joining us right now then on the podcast is Elise and Nadia. They are going to talk about how their groups did the vision board. You guys were in different groups, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So what were you guys thinking when you were working with your group? What was kind of going through your mind as you were thinking initially? You haven't done anything yet. Mm-hmm. What were the challenges that you guys were trying to overcome, and what were the thoughts that were happening in those groups?
I think first you had to choose a really good design, like theme for your roller coaster, and because I think that helps with like actually adding decoration to your roller coaster, and a theme helps with like what tricks you're going to do. Is it going to be family friendly? Is it going to be thrilling? So you have to make that decision. Yeah, we based ours off of a movie, so we went over the movie and watched for the key moments in the movie that would represent our roller coaster or like impact, like characters that made a huge impact on the story.
Nice.
Yes, same with us.
And so as you were moving then from the vision board and actually starting to try to put some of this together, what were some of those challenges at that point? So you've come up with this really cool vision in your mind. But then when you start to actually make it, how did that translate?
It's not always easy to execute everything perfectly, especially because I think some of the designs were kind of extravagant. Like, I know for my group, we tried to do, like, a corkscrew, but that's really hard because if you want to do a vertical one, it's a lot easier. But if you're going to make it, like, horizontal corkscrew, that's really hard.
Yeah.
And so we had to end up scrapping that idea and do something else, like a drop and a loop, because we weren't able to actually do it. So I think designs changed a lot from, like, the original kind of theme and idea. But I think everyone tried to stay as close as they could to their original design.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, the tricks were a big thing. Nobody really stayed with their first design. We added on to our design because we thought ours was too basic, and the point of the roller coaster was to have the longest roller coaster because the longer it is, the more points you get. Mm-hmm. And also the more tricks you have or the harder tricks they are, it's you get more points. So we just added more tricks, but it's also a lot harder because you have to think about tricks that happen before or after it so that it can lead up to it so that they have enough momentum to do that trick.
Because you can't really do a drop in the middle of your roller coaster because it's not going to be able to get up that hill with just enough momentum from the marble. So
right. Well, that's exciting, especially since we don't have like the propulsion that you guys got to experience in Dollywood on some of their rides. You're having to really just use gravity and then the laws of physics that you guys are learning to keep that marble on the track and to make it go from one trick then to the next, or one drop to the next, and how you're going to set that up. What about cost-wise? So in your vision board, you had to come up with a cost, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so how did that translate to what your actual cost is looking like it's going to be now?
So I think our first cost was $4 million. I think currently we're at like $16-20 million. We had some problems with the actual track. It kept on falling apart and it just wasn't looking nice. So we had to move on to foam track. And that's a lot more expensive because it's an easier and better material to work with. So we kind of just restarted like a week ago. But it's working a lot better, but it's a lot more expensive. But those tricks will lower the price.
Yeah.
So.
What about you?
I think things start adding up very fast, and you don't even realize how much they start to cost until, okay, we need track, we need tape, we need glue, we need all these things, and then you realize it starts to add up. Our original price was $8.5 million, and we're at $9.5 million.
Okay.
So I think we're doing pretty good right now, but we kind of anticipated that it was going to be expensive to have that roller coaster, so we made our initial price a little bit more than the other groups because we knew that we would probably end up even going over that.
Okay.
So right now we're about at 9.5 mil, so I think we're doing pretty good.
That's awesome. Have you guys enjoyed this project?
Yes, it's definitely been one of my favorite projects we've done in eighth grade for sure.
That's awesome. Thank you guys.
Thank you.
All right, so we've got Dan back with us again for the continuing of this project here. So we just talked to a couple students about their vision boards and some of the challenges they were having to face, some of the costs of like what they thought it was going to be as opposed to what it's looking like now, and what they were having to figure out with tricks and drops and corkscrews and all of that stuff. So students were kind of in that initial phase of thinking by doing the vision board and trying to think through the costs and all of that. What's the next step of the project?
So once the vision board obviously is designed to give the whole team a plan of how they're going to build this roller coaster. So at that point, it's interesting because it seems to take a while. It's a slow process. You think, okay, they're just going to, I always use the analogy of a big bucket of Legos. You just dump it and start putting together.
Yeah.
they can't do that because obviously their integrated supply manager is cost savvy. And so they're like, well, you can't just buy a bunch of things that we're not going to use. And so so they start to assemble things one at a time. I actually give them I call them pro builder tips of the day. And so the very first tip that I gave them is to establish sturdy foundational height.
Mm.
And I've shown them pictures in the past of roller coasters that were built and the foundation's not sturdy. And so, you know, a team might come back in the following day or following morning and find that their whole roller coaster tipped over.
Yeah.
Just because they didn't have a sturdy foundation. So that's kind of the initial construction is just building the vertical towers, and they can, you know, they decide what's a more cost effective way to do that, to use like a cardboard box,
yep,
or to use manila folder. We had PVC pipe, and everything's priced a little differently, and so that's kind of the first problem solving phase, is they have to figure out, okay, what's the most cost effective or cheapest way, and is it going to be the sturdiest way?
Mm.
And so I think most teams, when you actually tour the eight roller coasters that are being built, most teams used either manila folder or they use the cardboard box.
Yeah. So how much went into the students just kind of, I mean, testing out, like, how do you have to get to go through a loop, or how much, you know, because we just talked about with those girls of, you know, this is different in that we don't have self-propulsion, we don't have a chain, we don't have,
right,
you know, so they've really got to start at a height to kind of,
right,
get that initial force to have this marble do whatever it is I'm trying to get it to do. So how much in that initial phase was, you know, kind of playing around with, like, how high do you have to have something to get a loop? How high,
right,
do you have to have something to get the turn you're wanting?
Right, yeah, and it's so great to hear the conversations that take place amongst the team. The word potential energy is used so often, and
yeah,
they'll say, well, there's not enough potential energy, or we need more potential energy, and that's what we're trying to establish with our physics standards in eighth grade, is their understanding of how energy works, how energy is transferred. And so right away they start to have those concepts mastered, I feel,
yeah,
as they're building, because they'll do little small experiments where, you know, they try to get the marble to do a loop, and they realize, okay, this marble has to have enough speed in order to accomplish this that we're building. And so, I mean, I that's why I love this project, is because there's so much there's so many times where they have a plan, they build it, and then it doesn't work, and so they have to rebuild it.
Yeah.
And so they're always reimagining, okay, what is the most effective way to get this whole thing to be completed? So I think that's probably the most evident thing early on in the construction, is that what they initially have planned, they always want to go back to, but then they just realize they have to keep evolving it until it does work.
Yeah. And as far as when I walk around and look at some of these roller coasters, I also see some really cool theming.
Yeah.
And so is that something that you're talking to them at the very beginning? Was that part of the vision board process of that they figured that theme out? Does that change from what they originally thought in the vision board to a theme then that, you know, that actually comes to life? Because some of these are really amazing.
Right.
That, you know, of the creativity that they've come up with. It's not just the roller coaster. It's got this other idea behind it, as
right,
far as just like every other roller coaster, right? When you go to Dollywood and you're seeing Big Bear Mountain, when you're standing in line, you're going through a lot of theming to,
right,
kind of,
right,
put you in that mindset of Big Bear Mountain. The same with if you go to Universal Studios, if you go to you know, Orlando with Disney as well. It's the amount of thought behind,
right,
it's not, you're not just sitting down on a metal track and a, you know, a plastic seat with a harness. It's, you really feel like you have put yourself into, you know, the seat of the eagle at Dollywood,
right,
or Big Bear Mountain with this exploration that you're on, or,
right,
you know, whatever at an amusement park. So there's a ton of that becomes part of this project as well with the kids. So,
right,
how do you talk about that?
Yeah, and that's again why I love this project, because, you know, any student who does not, say, gravitate towards math or science, but they love art and they love design, there is that role for them, and they really take a lot of pride in, I mean, they have to create a teaser trailer, so that's probably my favorite part of this. In the beginning, I show them the teaser trailer for Big Bear Mountain,
yeah,
and it's well done, it's professionally done, but I would put some of the ones that they've made here up against that and say that some of the student created teaser trailers are just as good, if not better. And so that's one of the components that has to be done during the construction process, because, you know, the excitement's building, this new ride's being built, people are walking by and seeing it, they know that it's called Sparrow's Revenge.
Yeah.
And so then the teaser trailer, you know, obviously gets people more excited about it, and those are all done usually doing either Canva or CapCut or iMovie. I mean, all these kids are so creative when it comes to the digital aspect of computers. So the teaser trailers, I think, are one of those ideas that, you know, the first role in the beginning is the product design and marketing person, and that's the same person that does the videographer. So they have two main jobs after the whole creative logo and color scheme. They have to create the teaser trailer, and then they have to create a documentary, which basically captures the whole process from beginning to end. And next week we'll test, and so that's where they get scored. You know, the whole formula for scoring is something that they're constantly looking back on, and it's a pretty elaborate, scoring formula. But yeah, I think that the marketing behind it and the theming is, I mean, it's a lot of the kids will right away just kind of gravitate towards a movie.
Yeah.
And that's what we see at theme parks too, is, you know, a lot of movie based rides. But then this one right here, for example, and the one behind me, so Cheese Escape is based on the Mousetrap board game.
Yeah.
And then Tidal Temptation is just, you know, based on a mermaid and kind of a fantasy story about the ocean. And so, I mean, they've gone their own direction. I think the Trespasser was really creative because that's based on a roller coaster at a deserted theme park that never got finished. It didn't get completed. And so, I mean, those are three roller coasters that were not, you know, those are 100% created by their imagination. It wasn't a film or a movie.
Right.
It's really neat to see what the kids come up with as far as the theme.
This has been the Ignition Point, Clayton Bradley Academy's podcast, where every day we work to help students excel through critical thinking, problem solving, collaboration, and use of our lifelong guidelines and life skills. This has been a part one, as you could tell the way that this episode ended, and we will be doing a part two next week as we continue to interact with Dan and the eighth grade students, as well as his partner teacher, Nicole Whitecotton, in part two of the interview. So we hope that you enjoyed this episode and will join us next week for part two. If you'd like to find out more about the school, you can find us on our webpage, www.claytonbradleyacademy.org. You can find us on social media sites at CBACM or at Clayton Bradley Academy. We hope you have a wonderful day.